back home to see the only one I ever loved. Now the moon is shining bright, it lights my pathway tonight, back to the only one I ever loved. Oh, I know she waits for me back in old Tennessee. She was sent to me from God above. Now the moon is shining bright, it lights my pathway tonight, back to the only one I ever loved.
So Ryan Vinny Show, everybody. It's June 8th, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. What a packed show we've got today. A packed show. Got SmackDown from this past Friday night. Undertaker's in a vegetative state. We've got the Raw show from this past Monday night. John Cena's in a vegetative state. And speaking of vegetative states, we're talking about video games here on this show. Which is what people do when they're in a vegetative state. They play a bunch of goofy video games. I'm not a video game fan, as everybody's well aware. But luckily, we've got Jeremy, the video game guy, who's going to make his appearance on the show today. I know many people on the board are very excited about the return of Jeremy to the show. We'll see if he backs up his end of the bargain. It's coming up in just a second. And then, of course, later on, we'll do shout-outs, talk about a bunch of other stuff as well. I have got to sneeze.
Go ahead. We'll wait. You can turn your...
I'm all right now.
Good work.
All right, so now...
Supreme willpower, this man.
With that out of the way, let's kick it off here with Jeremy, everybody. I know everybody wants to hear about the NXT invasion, but come on. People have been talking about that for days now. Old news. Let's talk about some new news, such as the AAA video game, some of the UFC video games, the THQ financial situation, which I know everybody has been emailing me about repeatedly. Let's get Jeremy here on the line and get his thoughts on all of these big developments in the world of video games. Hold on. We are back here on the show. We've got the video game and boxing correspondent. Jeremy is here on the air. And Jeremy, what's happening? It's been a long time there, buddy.
It has been a long time. And the first question is, Vince, I read your post on the board. Are you actually naked right now?
No. I was lying. Somebody suggested I do this show in the nude. I told him I would, but I was lying. Sorry to disappoint you.
Brian's recording studio was turning into like a Roman bathhouse.
Why did they ask you to do that, and why did you say yes?
They asked. Someone asked why I review. Speaking of video games, I reviewed a bunch of video game matches for the tape review this week, and someone asked why, and I said it was by request. And they said, well, I request you do the show tonight naked. So I said, sure.
Well, he didn't, everybody. Yeah. He's no longer a man of his word. He's a liar. Okay. Jeremy, did you read Vince's video game review in the newsletter this week?
Yes, I read the entire Figure Four Weekly. It was an excellent newsletter this week.
You know why he says that, Vince? Because he wanted me to read the entire 12,000-page review that he put up on the front page, despite the fact that I don't like video games at all. That's why he's made this comment here. But before we get into that, what did you think of Vinny's review? Did you agree with his thoughts on these video game matches and outcomes?
I did not see the matches, so I can't judge.
You were not able to verify whether or not certain matches were a star and a half or not?
I didn't see the matches, so I can't judge. I thought it was a very good piece, though.
Well, thank you. Can you verify for me that the early versions, at least, of the SmackDown video game series were fucking awful?
I never played them. They were on the PlayStation 2.
I see. Okay.
Or PlayStation 2.
Jeremy's very specific about the platforms which he uses.
There's a big difference between the two. About, what would you say, 6 to 8 years of technology between the two?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was stuck with WWF Raw for the Xbox, and that was no good.
Jeremy, let's talk a little bit about the AAA video game.
Okay. Basically, the research I've done so far is next Thursday, they're going to have a match for the cover. And they wisely announced it was La Parca versus a tag team featuring La Parca versus Dr. Wagner Jr.
Now, which La Parca is it? Is it L.A. Park or La Parca? Or is it L.A. Park as La Parca?
Took me 2 days to find that out. Because, of course, they announced it last Thursday, and then they switched to La Parca was. Brilliant piece of advertising. It's the guy who was La Parca on Friday and is no longer La Parca.
So the rip-off La Parca.
Yes.
The AAA La Parca Jr., we call him.
Right, but the thing is, but again, so when he will do the match, he will no longer be La Parca, but is La Parca?
I'm already completely befuddled.
Which is amazing because
totally
you edited the newsletter with this
story,
Vince. Did you not?
Which is, again, why it took me 2 days to figure this out. He will be wrestling as La Parca, even though he is not La Parca.
Didn't you read the cover story that you edited for the newsletter last night about La Parca and L.A. Park?
I read through it, yes.
You read through it. All right. Well,
I did not memorize the newsletter, no.
Well, I'm wondering about the confusion here, not having any idea what's going on with L.A. Park and La Parca. They had a name versus name match.
Right.
Okay.
And La Parca won.
Well,
L.A.
Park won.
No, the winner gets to be La Parca, so La Parca won.
Right.
But it was a no contest.
Right.
So L.A. Park may have not won. No one knows what's going on, goddammit. That's why we've got Dr. Lucha on the show tomorrow.
Right, but the AAA La Parca is showing up for the match, and I've been strongly led to believe that he is going to be the one winning.
And why is that?
It makes the most sense.
And why is that?
And, of course, none of this has made sense so far, so we're assuming a lot.
Tell us why it makes sense, Jeremy, in case we have no idea what's going on in this video game.
It's not so much making sense for what actually goes on in the video game. It's more the marketing side, in that the La Parca gimmick is more marketable and recognizable on the cover of the video game than Dr. Wagner Jr.
I know there are people that may disagree with that.
Well, more people will recognize La Parca just looking at the cover than Dr. Wagner Jr.
Are you saying this for the American audience or for the AAA audience, the Lucha audience?
I think they're going with the same cover all throughout all the regions.
But what if he's, say, La Parca? They have to change his name. Will he still be as recognizable?
At this point, I'm just really confused because they changed. Because I did my analysis when it was before they did the match, and I'm completely lost.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Jeremy, they taped AAA TV that was going to air after Triple Mania, before Triple Mania, which would be like taping a post-WrestleMania Raw before WrestleMania. And on that show, both L.A. Park and La Parca were there in their old gimmicks.
Yeah, I've got no idea what's going on.
So perhaps he'll be La Parca, and he'll wrestle as La Parca, and then he'll win, and then your analysis here will be correct.
I still am led to believe that the skeleton costume will be on the front of the cover. I just have no idea who that is.
Now, if he loses, they could still put the skeleton on the front cover.
No, because the tag team match is a week from Thursday is for the cover, so that would mean Dr. Wagner Jr.
So that's the actual stipulation of the match. The winning team ends up on the cover.
The captain of the winning team ends up on the cover.
Wow.
That's actually fantastic.
How about that? All right,
which again makes no... Why would they change the name?
Yeah, they don't have any idea what they're doing. Come on, seriously now.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I figured.
Well, you're presuming that AAA and this AAA video game, these people in charge of the video game and these people in charge of the AAA are all on the same page. And seriously now, of course they're not.
No, that's what I figured out.
What are your sales projections for this particular game?
Right now in the United States and Canada, none.
No sales? That's a rather dire prediction, don't you think?
Wow. Will the Abdullah the Butcher Shoot DVD do better? Please tell me it will.
I would expect so. Or about even.
About even with none.
So, well, I can tell you we've already sold more than none, so your projections are in fact incorrect.
Well, worldwide, you guys are going to sell, because of the internet, you're going to sell to lots of territories that they're not.
AAA has no web access?
Well, I imagine you guys are doing a Region Zero DVD.
You're asking the wrong guy.
No idea, yeah.
Well, the Xbox 360 version of the game is going to be Region 1. So, therefore, it can't be exported to other countries.
I see.
Wow.
Okay.
What bullshit. So you're expecting zero sales?
I'm expecting virtually zero sales. Because AAA is targeted at a Latino fan base, and to the Latino fan base in the United States, WWE is their primary brand of wrestling, and which is why, I mean, the AAA shows do not do well when they bring live events here. So,
well, some of them have done all right, actually.
What?
Some of them have done all right.
But not to the point where it even compare with WWE. I mean, when's the last time they ran a show here?
Sure. WWE is going to do a lot better, but AAA has on several occasions outdrawn TNA.
Is that really something to brag about?
Well, TNA video game did more than zero sales. So my analysis is that this will do more than zero, is my analysis.
I think it will do more than zero, but less than 15,000.
Okay, that's a better range right there. That's a better range. I agree with your analysis there.
But now, less than 15,000 is the equivalent of zero when you put in marketing.
Sure. Let's talk about the UFC game.
Okay. Where do you want to begin?
At the beginning.
Okay, I think what we need to begin with is talking about this video game was very, very important to THQ, because THQ has been losing a lot of money for many, many years. The only quarters that they've made money in the last several years were the ones that saw the release of UFC 2009 Undisputed and WWE SmackDown versus Raw 2008. Outside that, it's been a lot of losses. For the rest of their quarters, for how many years would that be? 2007. So 2007 on.
All right.
You can do whatever math you want on that.
I'm pretty good at that, but go ahead.
Sorry. So this game is really important to them because also the UFC license expires for THQ at the end of this year. It's expected that Electronic Arts will put a bid in to try and acquire the UFC license. THQ has made a major turnaround and it's expected to do well, and it's pretty much entirely because of the UFC. It's almost entirely because of the UFC license, and they cut millions and millions of dollars from payroll or from their budget. The UFC brand is now far more important to THQ than the WWE brand. And you can tell that by the UFC video game. They started advertising it in December. The WWE game last year came out in late October. They did not show anything from the game until SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 months of advertising compared to six, which is a good way to show which one's important.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So, and EA, I don't know how much the people who are listening for free know about the EA THQ UFC issue.
Probably exactly as much as the people who pay, I would guess.
Okay. Well, UFC says that they're angry at THQ UFC says they're angry at EA because they turned them down for a meeting. And this is talked about in detail in the article, is that the thing is everyone, when UFC was turned down for the meeting was in March 2007. And in March 2007, no one who was actually at EA then was there to turn down the meeting. The current CEO of EA started there in, like, April 2nd.
Jeremy, there's a lot of politics we're getting into here.
That's because it's... Well, yeah, that's the way it works.
Okay, keep going then. If this is important, we'll keep listening.
Okay, yeah, so this is kind of... So then this has also affected a lot of mixed martial artists and how UFC said they wouldn't sign them. And because this is how, so basically the entire EA UFC THQ feud, it's basically over the fact that everyone's got their dates crossed. Their dates crossed.
Jez, what's the worst case scenario for a video game fan and for this?
I don't think it's a worst case scenario for a video game fan. I think it's a worst case scenario for THQ.
Okay.
Which is that EA will offer UFC a ton of money and acquire the license, and THQ will be in real, real bad shape immediately.
Well, let's as Vinny, what Vinny was trying to say here is, let's talk about this from the...
Why should we care?
The video game fan perspective, in the sense that, how will this affect...
If THQ loses this, the possibilities of bankruptcy are very real within the next few years.
And should we care about this?
It depends on if you like the other THQ games.
But they could conceivably be picked up by other companies as well and continue on.
Yes, but there would be other people, and a lot of stuff would change hands, and certain games would disappear.
Was this one of the things that resulted in no longer me being able to play Dig Dug?
You can play Dig Dug.
Oh, really?
Probably online for free if you look for it.
It's $5 on Xbox Live.
Oh, wow. So Xbox picked up the Dig Dug license.
Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure who has the Dig Dug license, but you can go on Xbox Live, and for $5, I think it's actually... It's 400 Microsoft points, which is $5. But I know how you brought this up before, and it reminded me of a story that when I was 5 years old, my dad brought over one of the designers of Dig Dug and had him play a game with us.
Wow.
With my brother and I.
One of the designers of Dig Dug.
Yes, this was many, many years ago, so think back to 1986. And bet him a $10,000 order that at five I could beat him at Dig Dug. I took care of business. Then Double or Nothing, that my 3-year-old brother could also beat him at Dig Dug. My brother beat him worse.
So you made $20,000 for your family off Dig Dug?
Yeah, and the guy also, because he was humble, sent us a copy of Joust.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Chiz, that was a winner of a story, seriously.
Now... I'm just sad that not only can I no longer play Dig Dug in an arcade box, but the Godfathers that I used to play Dig Dug in is out of business. That's complete bullshit.
I think Godfathers are all out of business.
I know.
Godfather's Pizza went down.
Now, seriously, Jeremy, we need to talk about the game from the perspective of the listener here, in the sense that, tell us if this game is worth buying.
No.
All right.
This is the thing. It's when
an abomination, you called it.
What?
An abomination.
No, I called the online player an abomination. I called the game a failure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, failure's pretty bad, too.
Yeah, but it's not an abomination. That's a biblical term.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, what happened is the game is UFC, or THQ needed, for their financial viability in the future, and stave off a bid to acquire the license by EA, need to really deliver big with this game. And that's where they failed.
Tell us how much this game sucks and why.
Well, the thing is, let's start with the career mode. The career mode last year was all about going through menus and not actually spending time competing in the octagon, which I think is supposed to be the purpose of a game about the UFC, is actually getting to compete in the octagon. So instead, you're forced to go through millions of menus, seemingly millions of menus, and constantly do repetitive activities that have nothing to actually do with having matches.
Hmm. Sounds like no buys.
It is no buys. When you are given, when you start the game, you have to acquire better equipment and better training partners to get better.
Better equipment?
Better equipment.
So you can fight with a weapon or a club?
No, apparently you need a better treadmill.
Oh.
I see.
Huh.
Because otherwise you cannot get your stamina up higher unless you have a better treadmill.
I see.
Your strength also requires you to get a better weight set.
Interesting. What about better injectables?
Oh, yeah.
That does not require better injectables, or at least, I don't know, it's stamina, strength, and Speed.
Virility?
Are the three.
Oh, Speed.
And, also, and until you get them all, until you get level three of all of those, you cannot max out those levels. Instead, you're stuck at like 40 instead of 100. And also, you're sparring until you get the highest level sparring partners. You can't max out those stats either.
I see.
So you have to get cred. To get cred, you have to put
cred.
Cred, yes. It's as lame as it sounds. You have to put sponsors' logos on all of your gear. And last year they had it slotted so you could only put sponsors' logos in so many places. People complained, so the solution was to let you move around where you could put your sponsors' logo. But this year they added T-shirts and hats. That way you could customize your mixed martial arts more.
What about things that are important, like whether you can punch the guy in the face or put him in an armbar?
You can do that, but the thing is, they tweaked the ground game, and the game has now determined that it hates wrestlers and jiu-jitsu people. Because what it does is when you take someone down, if you just hold on for 15 seconds of real time, the referee's going to order a stand-up. And the referee will get progressively more impatient.
What if you're in half guard? Will he
stand up? He orders.
Well, if you're in half guard, will he still stand you up?
Yes, he will stand up in half guard.
So, I'm starting to care.
So the goal is to just if you just get to half guard and he control and your opponent and you can be punching in half guard, but if you're not postured up in half guard, you're going to get a stand up order.
Postured up in half guard, you say?
Yes.
What about the full mount?
Full mount, yes, but the thing is you spend so much time defending the position that you can't get anything effectively done, and it wears out your virtual mixed martial artist because you can't finish from there. So
you can't finish from the full mount?
Yes, it's very hard to finish from full mount.
Okay,
because, game here. Because you're spending so much time fighting the guy who's trying to buck you off. So therefore, the character I created for the game faced Sean Shirk three times, and all three of the matches progressed exactly the same. Sean Shirk would take me down twice in the first round. He would pass the mount. I would escape one time. The second time,
pass the mount.
He would pass to mount.
Oh, pass to mount.
Sorry.
Okay.
He passed to mount. I would escape the first time. The second time, I would just end up holding on and till the end of the round. The second round, he would get four takedowns. I'd be able to get one escape and three stand-up swords.
Vince needs to score this fight in the next edition of the newsletter.
Maybe I should.
I don't have a video capture card. And thing is, then it would come to round three. He would get a few more. He would get a few more takedowns. The referee would order very quick stand-ups, and then whoever had more stamina would end up hitting the big knockout blow because the stand-ups were getting ordered so fast in the last 2 minutes, and whoever landed the big punch won.
Well, that sounds like no fun.
It was no fun, and if you tried to create someone who was a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu guy, you had to get your submission real, real fast. But they've changed the submission system where it used to be you could get submissions early. Now you can only get submissions on really, really tired guys, which, as you know, as a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, isn't the way it actually works.
Well, sometimes it is, but...
What?
Sometimes it is.
True, but you want guys who are not as slick, and that way you can have a better grip.
Sure.
I imagine you tap out people all the time in practice, and I assume you tap them out at the beginning of practice just as well as at the end.
Well, we wear gis, so the slippery bodies don't matter much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens is, at the beginning, because what I did in last year's character creator, for last year's review, is I created a wrestler who would get a takedown within the first 30 seconds, stand up out of the open guard, and then immediately grab a leg lock. And attempting to do that in this game was... And in this game, if you tried that, it failed every single time.
So an abomination.
The Abomination was the online play.
A failure.
No, I'm sorry, it was failure. The Abomination was online.
The Abomination was the online play.
Well, let's give the 30-second explanation of the Abomination here.
Okay. Sony, they've got two players. The matches do not connect at any time. They're constantly slowed by lag. I tried to play. The matches last at most 4 minutes. I played online for an hour before quitting. For over an hour before quitting, I finished three matches because of constant disconnects and just an inability to get matches started.
Well, was that a disconnect on your end as far as a bad internet connection, perhaps?
No, it wasn't. The servers are just no good. I don't know. Like, you just can't get matches going.
I'm not an online game player, so I don't understand any of this stuff.
Or an offline game player.
Exactly, actually.
You know how you used to have AOL dial-up and how it would log on and would constantly log you off?
Vaguely, yes.
Many, many years ago. That's exactly what happened.
Back in my early 30s.
Just constantly goes out. So you'll be in the middle of a match, and then it will go away. And it can never make matches. Sony in January released MAG, which is 256 online player on one map on PC and PS3 at the exact same time around the world. THQ is asked to put two players on the same system on one platform. They can't do that right. That's pretty embarrassing. And also this year, they're charging $5 for anyone who rents the game or buys the game secondhand to get this crappy online play.
Vince is actually loading up Dig Dug on his computer right now.
I'm trying to get it to work. There he goes, I think.
Oh, my God. You're actually playing Dig Dug on
really
the computer.
Well, I'm really not. There appears to be... Oh, wait, hang on. The controls.
He doesn't know how to play, but he's actually got it. And he just got it. So Vince can't even do online play with Dig Dug.
I'm watching... He doesn't have Xbox Live because you don't pay him enough.
Well, look, I'm on a website. I searched Dig Dug Online Free.
It's not what you make, Jeremy. It's what you save.
And there's a game. I'm not playing this game. The computer's playing it by itself. And there's a list of buttons I can press that don't seem to be doing anything.
Look at this. Listen, Jeremy, we're almost 30 minutes into this review. We're running low on time here. So let's do a quick wrap-up here. Talk about your website and where they can go to read the 12,000-page review of the games.
12,000 words. I can't even do 12,000
pages. Sorry, words. 12,000... Jeremy, let me tell you.
I am now playing Dig Dug Online for free.
12,000-page video game review would have been an abomination.
It would have been an abomination.
Oh.
Number one, Kotera.net. You can find a lot of my old boxing columns and some other old articles.
Oh, God.
You can also find a lot of other stuff.
Blow up.
There's going to be a link to the review in the posting of this. And also, we've got a lot of upcoming stuff. We're going to have people down covering different parts of E3. We're going to have guys watching the AAA matches down at E3. We're looking to do a lot more as far as talking to people down at different events. And we're now doing annual coverage of CES. We're doing a lot of stuff. If you check the board, you can see we're really doing
a lot more
stuff in the future.
I died.
I apologize for Vinny here. He's in the middle of playing this game as you're doing your plug right there. But yes, number1contender.net is the place to go, everybody, for more.
There'll be a link in the post to this.
And the link to the post in this thing right here as well, yes.
Also, I imagine it's to number1contender.net.
All right, Jeremy, we're going to put the link up right there so everybody's going to be able to check it out, and I presume you'll have more coming up in the future?
I hope so.
All right, well, fine job today. We'll have you back on again when the next big game comes out.
That should be EA Sports MMA.
EA Sports, oh, that's right. I will want to talk to you about that one. So we'll have you on again after a while to talk about that.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you after a while.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I can't believe we went 30 minutes.
I went around two.
What site is that?
It's kind of long. It starts at www.1980-games.com and then /US/old games.
What did you Google?
That's Dig Dug Online Free, and it's the first non-ad link that came up.
Oh, 1980. Look at that. Well, let's see if we've got any audio of this Dig Dug.
At least I kept my audio down. Not a complete
application
tool.
Requires an earlier version of Java?
Really?
So I've got to go backwards to fucking play this game?
Downgrade your computer. What are you thinking about it? You must downgrade your computer to play Dig Dug.
That's a who ever heard of such a thing? Your computer is too advanced to play this game.
Well, it's like your DVD player is too advanced for my videotape.
And I don't want to do this one. This site might harm your computer.
Uh-oh. I didn't get that note. I may be downloading viruses as we speak.
What the fuck? I'm going to continue anyway.
Click to activate. Yeah, tell me what, figure out how to get started.
Let's try playing Dig Dug.
Oh.
Oh, there we go. One player or two players? Is this online play? Oh my god. Oh my god! Ready?
Go!
Here we go! I forget how to play this game, actually. Oh, wait, come here. Come here, little bugger. Come here. Oh, shit. Oh, Jesus. Ah, trouble's coming! I forget how to pump. How do you pump?
Z button.
Is it?
Uh-oh. I think it's Z. Z?
I just died.
What does X do? I don't know what X does.
Okay, hold on. There's
either one.
I found the pumper. Okay, hold on.
Z or X pumps.
That fucker's dead. Now I'm gonna get the dragon.
It's the best show you've ever done.
I'd rather just do this than talk about all this other crap.
Me too!
Okay, there's one bugger left, and I want to drop a rock on him.
Oh, good thinking. I'm on round two.
Come here, you little fool.
Oh, I think that means the timer's running out there.
Oh, does it?
I assume.
Did I die?
I think he escaped, so he's moving on to round two.
Oh, yeah, the little bugger escaped.
Ah, I caught the guy with a rock.
Okay, I'm going to play one more round, and I promise we'll keep going. To think I never play video games. I love blowing these little fuckers up.
Jeez. Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
I died. I got eaten by a dragon.
I'm going to do better. Hold on. What a disgusting game.
Yes, you encounter monsters.
Come here, fool.
Shoot them with a harpoon and inflate them until they explode.
Oh, no. Oh, I just squashed him with the thing! Yeah! I got a turnip? Come here, you little fucker. Oh, there we go. I killed every one of them!
And they play your theme song.
This made the entire show awesome. All right, everybody. I've played enough Dig Dug right here. I seriously could be playing this game all night.
God damn it. I missed him with a rock. All right.
I just made myself die, so
this
game's
probably this joke's probably run its course now.
All right. Well, that was fun, everyone. I got a chance. And my Dig Dug looks a hell of a lot better than the shitty version you've got on your screen right there.
How dare you?
It does. You've got purple and yellow and orange? Or is it...
It's just it's not pointed.
No, my version is the actual legit version. No, I shut. Actually, I'll put it back up. Hold on.
I can look at it. Hang on.
Hold on. No, come on. Hold on. There's the earlier version that is necessary. This is like the look at that. That's like the original Dig Dug.
Is that the point?
Mine looks way cooler than yours. See?
That's exactly the same as mine.
I guess it does. Maybe because your computer screen was turned, I saw different colors.
Yes, the resolution's different.
All right, everybody. Enough of the fun and hijinks. Let's talk about SmackDown. Hate to disappoint everybody by... We'll save the Raw show for last. I know that's what everybody's waiting for. 34 minutes into this show. Just now getting started. And at least you can all rest comfortably knowing that you're not actually paying for this program. All right. Start the SmackDown report.
SmackDown opened with Teddy Long, morose, backstage, telling us that over Memorial Day weekend, Kane found The Undertaker in a vegetative state. Said there was an ongoing investigation into who or what was responsible for this brutal, heinous attack. And already I had to hit pause on my DVR player and just reflect and think about this stupidity. So Kane found The Undertaker. Presumably this is a social call. It was Memorial Day weekend. Perhaps they're having a family gathering like a barbecue. Would be an odd choice for their history, but...
I predicted a barbecue. Well, that wouldn't be an odd choice. Fire would be involved.
Yeah, last time they had a fire, the house burned down, and the parents died.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that was a while ago.
So, and really, that's the funniest example, but what other gathering Anytime you get any wrestlers, especially these two, in their gear outside of a wrestling ring, it's funny. Were they playing golf? That's funny.
Undertaker was dressed up as the motorcyclist.
Okay, so Kane was still walking around in...
Well, he never changes his gear.
Yes.
Actually, I've seen Kane. I've been at WWE events backstage. I've seen Kane in his natural state. He looks exactly like Big Wood.
I actually think I've seen the same photo.
No, it's not a photo. I was there.
But I have seen photos and had the same thought.
Yeah, he looks exactly like
Big Wood.
Leaner
Big Wood.
Yeah.
So, number two, it had been at least 4 days since Memorial Day weekend when this program aired. And in that time, they were still not entirely sure what happened. They could only assume it was some sort of violent encounter. There was no other explanation for this. They had no evidence. Was he bruised and bloodied? Was he sliced to bits? What was their evidence that it was a violent attack?
Well, Teddy knew, so apparently the police had told him something. We're spending too much time on this stupid angle.
It continued. Druids came out. They brought a coffin down to the ring. There was a funeral set up. There was scary music playing. And Kane came out, had him open the coffin. It was empty. And then Kane gave the following retarded speech. In all likelihood, the most respected, feared, dreaded force in the WWE, The Undertaker, my brother, will no longer walk amongst us. Gone are the endless nights when The Undertaker would strike fear in the hearts of those in his presence.
You actually wrote this all down.
Gone is the face of darkness. It was so corny and hokey I had to. Gone is the face of darkness, his brilliance extinguished by an act of cowardice. Keep in mind, Kane was standing in the wrestling ring giving his lines sincerely. Gone is the specter that was beloved and admired by millions of creatures around the world. Gone from the WWE's most iconic figure. Gone forever are the bonds of brotherhood. My brother will rise from the dead no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gone is the Undertaker. But soon enough, those responsible for this atrocity will too be gone. They will be committed to the depths of hell, to a torturous existence that they cannot fathom. I will personally prosecute and persecute anyone who had anything to do with this tragedy.
Prosecute and persecute.
Indeed.
So apparently there's going to be legal action.
Sure.
As well as violence.
I am not going to scream like Kane was doing here, but we're going to scream, there will be vengeance. There will be vengeance, cold, cunning, cruel. There will be vengeance never before seen or felt. Vengeance never before imagined. There will be a vengeance swift, decisive, and terrible. Yes, there will be vengeance. And then he did the Undertaker's pose, and he collapsed in tears, weeping, I should have been there for you. That about sucked.
Well, as far as Kane promos go, he put a lot of passion into this one. I thought when he was yelling and screaming and he lost his mind at the end, I thought he was pretty good. It was overdramatic.
I don't mean as he knocked necessarily on Kane himself. Kane was given a script and read it to the best of his ability. The script was shit.
Well, yes. I will say this, that this week, a lot of people praised this promo by Kane, and a lot of people praised the NXT angle, both of which I heard the praise for before I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
After hearing the praise and seeing the NXT angle, I thought it was awesome, still. After hearing the praise and seeing Kane cut this goofy promo, thought it was a little overdramatic. But it was still, per Kane standards, pretty good.
I thought the whole thing was ridiculously hokey and corny.
Yes. I mean, if a man's in a vegetative state is your first act before seeking vengeance to arrange a giant theatrical to-do, and come out and, I don't know, and the music playing in the background.
It was completely silly, and I don't care about Kane getting revenge on whoever hurt his brother.
I do have to say that I have gotten a report. We can have Granny talk about it more on Friday, but Sylvia, Granny's friend Sylvia, went back to watching SmackDown on Friday. She returned to the fold, and she was very, very worried about what happened to The Undertaker.
Well, maybe this hit a different audience than myself. I'm not the only one watching this show.
Swagger beat MVP. They had a pretty damn good match. Swagger beat him clean with a roll-up, so it sucks to be MVP. And then afterwards, it sucked to be him even more as Curt Hawkins and Vance Archer hit the ring.
Yeah.
They attacked MVP. Several weeks ago, we were told they had a few weeks left on their current deal. They still have a few weeks left. So apparently, it rolls over every time nobody has any fucking idea who they are.
I guess so, yes. We were told their name is apparently going to be the Gatecrashers.
So we've got the Dude Busters and the Gate Crashers.
That's apparently. No hope.
What gate are they crashing?
There's no hope for this show anymore. Before the match, Stryker was very solemn, saying that The Undertaker is apparently no more. Then he went on with the wrestling matches, everyone.
Yes.
The match was pretty good. They got a ton of time. Their fake MMA was so much better than the MVP Luke Gallows fake MMA. Shocking, I know. But it was pretty good, and then we had Curtin Vance attack, and that was that.
Vicky wanted Teddy to put Ziggler in the four-way. Teddy decided to sign a battle royal instead, so clearly he's not thinking straight. A battle royal on SmackDown for the fatal four-way spot. Kane threatened Punk, said, "You better not have done it." Punk said, "I didn't do it," so Kane left.
Yes, Kane, Detective Kane was on the case.
Fine investigation there, these Kane.
These were all great comedy. I don't think they were supposed to be. Somewhere in here, they also aired a very long video recap of NXT congratulating Wade Barrett on his win and celebrating his win. In hindsight, it made sense, or makes more sense, but at the time, all I could think was, you guys finally decided to hype that show after it ended? So there you go. We had Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre. Matt Hardy showed up with a ticket to sit in the front row. They had a ton of time, like the other match, but this match was not as good. They were brawling outside. I actually did like the finish. They were brawling outside when Drew took it upon himself to cheap shot Matt Hardy. And he got back in the ring, and he was still jawing at Matt. And then he turned around, and Kofi hit him with the SOS and won. So Drew effectively distracted himself.
Yes. Because he's an idiot, you see.
He's an idiot. But Matt did not screw him. The ref did not have to pretend not to see any of this. It was all Drew's own doings. It all made sense. And then Matt laid him out just to further bury him and make it suck more to be Drew.
It sucks to be Drew. My God, this poor guy.
We had Kane being sad backstage. Ray joined him to try to mourn. But Kane accused him of covering his tracks, saying no one had... what do you say? He said Ray might have hurt The Undertaker, which is a hilarious concept, even though it really happened.
Yeah. There was a lot of heavy breathing by Kane, I noticed, on this show.
He was very...
Why is he always breathing so heavy? Is his cardio that bad?
Big man. Takes a lot of effort to move him around.
Same with The Big Show. No one breathes as much as Kane. It's like, Ray, did you kill my brother? No.
Maybe he's Darth Vader. So yeah,
I may have done that a couple of times tonight, actually. Swagger did a promo.
Did you kill my brother? No. Glad we got that established. Jack Swagger cut a great promo, designed specifically to piss off the Texas fans. He was wearing his Oklahoma football jersey, said they beat Texas all 4 years he was a starter, demanded everyone stand for the Oklahoma fight song, which was extra hysterical because a few people actually did. Mm-hmm. And then he began to sing Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, and finally Kane arrived and stared at him, and Jack was sad, and it ended.
Stared at him. He began breathing heavily on him again.
He breathed at him.
Rosa and Kelly. When I saw this match, I was like, holy fuck, I've got to see this. It was not the worst match of the decade.
Which is stunning, because they also got probably 5 minutes.
I don't know about that.
They got a long time for a women's match between two girls who are not that good.
They kept it very simple. They didn't do a lot. Kelly did a fame asser for the win. She didn't even try the one where you jump off the back and turn into a fame asser because she'd have killed herself and Rosa. Lay Cool was on the ramp and they were shocked. I don't know why.
They thought Rosa Mendez was unbeatable.
I guess.
She did. Rosa did at one point manage to fuck up an avalanche, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
Well,
it's a very low degree of difficulty on that move.
Big Show playing cards with a midget. Kane walked in. Wanted to know if Show had done the deed. Show said no. And Kane kicked over the card table and left. This was, in hindsight, and in foresight, and in just watching it, a bad investigation by Kane. Why was Kane on the case? Where were the police?
Apparently no one else cared.
He had his own investigation here.
He took the law into his own hands.
Asking everyone if they did it, and then moving on when they said no.
Perhaps he thought the killer would confess. I sure did, Kane!
Well, that may happen in the end.
That would make me ecstatic, actually.
If it's not... Kane has to have done this.
Yeah.
I mean, hello? Maybe it's so obvious that they're not going to have him be the culprit. But then we had the SmackDown Battle Royal. Winner getting the spot in the four-way. Ray, Dolph, Kofi, Drew, Kane, Finley, Kalen Croft, Trent Beretta, Luke Gallows, Vance Archer, Chavo, JTG, Curt Hawkins, MVP, Christian, and Chris Masters. I don't even
Chris
know where
Masters.
They got all these guys.
I just wrote down the people who surprised me. Like, Chris Masters still employed.
Finley tossed Christian and MVP after
yes.
not being on TV for months.
For months and months. No one went out for a while, and then Kane and Luke Gallows simultaneously started tossing dudes right and left. Kane backdropped one dude buster onto the other. It was a very poor catch. He nearly died. I have no idea what they were thinking. Kane had a final four of Kane, Luke Gallows, Rey Mysterio, and Kurt Hawkins. This seemed like a mistake. Like someone was supposed to be left in there and they got dumped earlier.
Yeah.
Kurt was quickly dumped. The masked man, or as Todd Grisham called him, the hooded stranger, ran in. They had tried to double-team Kane, he and Luke, but he fought them both off and eliminated Luke. So now it was Rey and Kane, and they actually had a pretty good match while it lasted until finally Rey turned a chokeslam into a Rana and won. That was a pretty crummy show, really.
I like the finish of the main event.
Finish of the main event was good. The Swagger and MVP match was good. A lot of really stupid shit.
Play a quick song, and then we'll get into what everyone's been waiting for, the Monday Night Raw program from, well, this past Monday night. Yeah. That's the whole thing,
okay,
everyone.
Then.
Short and sweet. While we're on the subject of Ludacris. How about Down with the Great Khali? Have we ever even played that?
That may be new.
All right. This one's 2 seconds long, but this is the recap of the first 2 hours and 45 minutes of Raw. No buys. Been a long time since we used that one.
It was not a good show for the most part.
Yeah.
Should we start?
No buys. I'm going to use that throughout this review.
All right.
Go ahead.
Show opened with Bret Hart and Teddy Long coming out. They plugged the Viewer's Choice Raw. Bret said the guys in the Raw four-way match would all compete tonight, and we, the fans, would decide their opponents. Teddy started to mention Randy Orton. His music hit. He came out with his arm in a sling.
No buys. That's where it started.
Just that he came out?
Yes.
Well, how about the fact that he came out with his arm in a sling, but still dressed to wrestle?
Yeah.
That was stupid. So he said if Edge was going to take him out, he wanted to take Edge with him. He wanted a match with Edge tonight. Edge interrupted, said, hey, let's give Randy what he wants so I can finish what I started. Teddy whispered in Brett's ear. So Brett said they were going to let everyone in the arena decide. Teddy said Edge would face Orton in a debate, a sit-up contest, in which case I believe Edge would have been fucked, or a one-armed contest with Edge's arm tied behind his back. Edge is not cool with this. Crowd chooses the one-arm match, which was...
No buys.
It was.
I wanted to see the verbal debate.
Or a sit-up contest. Either yes. of these would have been more fun.
Yes.
So he also... So we got the one-arm match. And then Teddy Long also announced we would get Jericho versus Show in an over-the-top rope challenge, a submission match, or a body slam challenge.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Body slam challenge.
So we got... Show versus Jericho. Here was the voting, everyone. Battle Royal, 11%. Submission match, 41%.
Yes.
Or Body Slam Challenge, 48%. More than 2 out of 5 people wanted to see these men in a submission battle.
Hey, I determined watching the show that there was a portion of the audience that wanted to see grappling on Raw.
I guess so.
They chose a match here. They chose Kozlov versus...
Santino
in a match, and they chose the women's title versus title match.
I guess so.
These people wanted grappling.
Yes, well, Body Slam Challenge was like grappling. So, I don't care what anyone says, I love this match. Show beat up Jericho for a while. He was too big for Jericho to do anything. Jericho snapped his arm on the ropes, worked him over for a bit. And he went for a body press, and Show caught him, looked around, horked him up, and body slammed him. And everyone went, yay! And then just to make sure Show did everything he could, he also put him in the colossal clutch, and Jericho submitted. And then Show threw him over the top rope. So he won all three stipulations.
Sucks to be Jericho.
He was put over. I enjoyed this segment a lot. We had we were told there would be a match with the tag team champions later. We were given three options to vote for. The Usos, the Dude Busters, or Great Khali and Hornswoggle. And my first thought was the Usos had better pray they win. And their first thought was that their first words were, the Hearts better pray they lose. So, there you go. The Dude Buster said voting for them will make you feel better, and then Khali and Hornswoggle just screamed. So then we had the match. The Usos got 36% of the vote, so it sucks to be them. The Dude Busters got 10% of the vote, so it really sucks to be them.
No buys.
And Khali and Hornswoggle got 54%, so it sucks most of all to be us. They walked out of the interview room. Trent Beretta dubbed them, and I quote, legit mutants. So they came out. Khali did some stuff. And then he tagged in Hornswoggle, who missed a frog splash and got pinned.
1 minute.
Yeah. So the Usos, who nobody cares about, ran in and tried to attack, but the Hart Dynasty finally fought them off. So that's good. Lawler then announced that something was missing and left as Michael Cole solemnly discussed The Undertaker.
No buys. Going to be a lot of that coming up, so
right,
get ready.
This is a long string of this. The A-Team arrived.
No buys.
No quicker reaction here.
Trying to see if I can get it quicker.
It was actually only Bradley Cooper.
No buys.
And he came out and said that Rampage and the other dude were not there. And that was really about all he said, and he left. And he was never seen again on the show.
No.
So King was backstage looking for someone. He was ambushed by B.A. and Murdoch.
No buys.
Who were disguising themselves with false mustaches.
No buys.
He said his crown had been stolen.
No buys.
Then they met the Bellas.
No buys.
Who thought they were actors.
No buys. So far, so good.
Right. We had Santino versus Kozlov. Here is one...
No buys. Sorry.
Here is one where the fans, at least the majority of fans, got the voting right. 9% of them voted for, and I quote, a match.
No buys.
7% voted for arm wrestling.
More people wanted to see them wrestle than arm wrestle.
That's bizarre to me, too. And 84% voted for a dance-off.
This actually was buys.
This segment was great. Santino just danced like a geek like Santino does. Crowd loved him. Kozlov said something. I have no idea. And then Kozlov began to go. And everyone, Kozlov has moves. This man, far more talented.
Notice Vinny did not say he could dance.
No.
He's got moves.
He has moves.
Yes. He's an indie worker as a dancer.
Yes, that's the best way to put it. Yes. He has moves. So the crowd correctly identified him as the winner. Santino tried to do some moves with him, ended up eating a headbutt to the chest, and then caused a little soft shoe and smirked at him. This is the best moment in Raw history.
It was pretty good. Even Tony liked this.
It was great.
Yeah.
So, we were told there would be a Divas match. It could be 6-on-6, which got 11% of the vote. A Battle Royal, which got 73% of the vote.
73%!
Pardon me, well,
no
and, and the champion versus champion match at 16%. I didn't need to see two shitty Battle Royals in a week after the one on SmackDown, and all Battle Royals are pretty much shitty, but to be honest, none of these options are terribly appealing. So I expected this to be traumatic.
It was pretty traumatic for some of these girls.
I did.
Almost everyone died.
Pretty much. There
no
was
buys.
At one point.
That's his entire battle royal. No buys.
It got down to, I think, the final three, and there was a girl in there I had no idea who it was. It turned out to be Jillian.
I didn't know either, actually.
I was like, who is that in the purple? And they announced her when she was dumped, and that was that. And then Maryse won. So there you go.
After Eve got kicked full-fledged right in the face. That was a good one.
Backstage, Kane ran into Sheamus. He accused Sheamus of taking out The Undertaker. Sheamus says if he did, He wouldn't be shy about it. He'd shout it out like he did when he took out Triple H. Kane accused him of lying. So he had Sheamus.
This, by the way, was not a no-buy segment. It does not get the horn because Sheamus called him fella.
Yes.
Always buys.
Especially when Kane is, you know, a big red monster.
Yeah.
His character is in no way a normal human. But to Sheamus, he is just fella.
Yeah.
Yes. So Sheamus wrestled the fella. There were three choices. Kane got 88% of the vote. It did, you know, precede the prior segment, so the fans were pretty much told who to vote for. Mark Henry got 3%, which he probably would have gotten regardless, and Evan Bourne...
Who were the 3%?
Mark Henry's immediate family? I did not want to see Sheamus and Mark Henry. Evan Bourne got
9%. In a building with 1,000 people, 30 of them would have chosen Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
So Evan Bourne got 9%. Jerry Lawler said that he could not remember anybody else leaving Undertaker in a vegetative state. No shit!
You know that with 5 million viewers to watch Raw, that would mean that approximately 150,000 viewers would have wanted to see Mark Henry get the shot.
Indeed.
Who in the fuck are these people?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, they actually had a pretty fun match here. Kane kept going for the choke slam, not getting it. He finally did, and Sheamus rolled outside and bailed. And I guess they couldn't... They clearly have plans for both guys, so it was all they could do, so there you go. We were told that Cena's opponents, potential opponents, were Jack Swagger, Rey Mysterio, and CM Punk.
But don't vote yet, they said.
Did they? I had to miss that part.
Yeah. Just be ready.
I guess you're supposed
Finger on the trigger.
I guess you're supposed to consider your options at this point. Had a Wade Barrett promo, said the result of NXT was never in question, and it was not the only accomplishment he would make. It was a start of something greater. He said, if you want to talk about achievements and accomplishments, talk to me in a week. He promised something would be done for the first time in WWE history. We had shit with Ted DiBiase and Virgil.
No buys. No buys. No buys. No buys. No buys. This whole segment sucked.
B.A. and Murdoch arrived. Uncle Irwin was there wearing a crown. Murdoch was gassed. I have no idea what the fuck this was.
I know what it was.
No buys.
So next was a tag match where Truth and Miz were on opposite teams and their partners we picked by fan voting. For Truth's partner, 29% picked Christian. Of course, is the best worker of the options of the available picks. 17% picked MVP, so it sucks to be him. 54% picked Morrison, reuniting my most hated team of all time. God, I was pissed. And then... For Miz's options, there was Dolph Ziggler, who's all right, Regal, who's awesome, and Zack Ryder, clearly the worst of the three. Zack won.
Yeah. Well, first off, Cole screwed up and said Christian was also one of the picks, which baffled me. And then I just figured that people hate Miz. They wanted him to team with the biggest dork so that he'd lose, and they chose
the biggest dork.
Geek. Yeah.
So there you go. Regal came in last. That sucks. His reaction, by the way, they would show... Will it be Dolph Ziggler? And Dolph would smirk or whatever. And the camera pans to the right, and there's Regal, and he's just fucking with his nails.
You know, so...
just very calm.
There's something about the visual of when they have all three guys, and they're all just standing shoulder to shoulder in the back.
Well, at least
baby
here...
Baby faces and heels alike.
At least here, because it was for the different tag teams, you had three sets of baby faces, and then three sets of heels. I really noticed it when they were doing Cena's opponent picking, and Rey Mysterio and CM Punk were standing 6 feet apart from each other. No interaction.
No violence, no anger.
No tension.
Nothing.
They didn't care.
Stupid.
Yeah. So we had
the match. It was no buys.
So we had Truth and Morrison versus Miz and Zack Ryder. Miz made fun of the fans for voting for stupid things. And they had a 3-minute match. Miz pinned Morrison with his move. There you go. Edge was backstage bitching to Brett about his one-armed match. Brett didn't care. Brett ran into Kane. Kane ran him down saying he was legend that the Undertaker's legend... he was jealous that the Undertaker's legend had surpassed his own, which is a fair point, actually. And thought Brett was behind it. Brett was... I don't know how to describe Brett's reaction. He was patient. He heard Kane out. He let Kane blow off some steam, and then Kane left, and Brett moved on with his life. So we got Edge versus Orton in a one-arm match. Edge ditched his sling like a minute in, got DQ'd. They brawled on the floor, and Orton got a concerto to his bad shoulder, so that should take him out of the match. We'll find out who fills in for him next week.
Why is this dumb shit taking bumps on that bad shoulder?
He's a dumb shit.
Idiot.
We had Evan Bohr met John Cena backstage, thanked him for choosing him as his partner last week. Cena thanked him for showing his toughness and energizing the crowd. They had Samantha doing backstage interviews. She asked Cena how he felt not knowing his opponent. I actually like this promo, at least when it started. He basically said his life had been chaotic forever, and then he sucked up to the fans, saying they were the best decision makers Raw had seen in months. And then it kind of turned into just a bunch of words promo. Murdoch came to...
No buys.
Mean Gene was there. Mean Gene was buys.
Yeah.
Mean Gene said the clown who replaced him... He said Murdoch had a chance to replace someone, then said the clown who replaced him was horrible, and the camera panned back, and there's Josh Matthews saying, I'm right here. Fantastic.
Poor Josh.
Now, once he said, Gene is much better than him.
Yes.
And it is made clear here. So, Gene said the A-Team movie could be better than the show. Murdoch seemed happy about something, bailed. Josh wanted to talk to Gene, and Gene replied, and I quote, save it, loser. Hire Gene Okerlund.
Yes.
He was fantastic here. We had Drew McIntyre versus...
No buys.
So we were given three options of his opponent. There was Yoshitatsu, Goldust, and a mystery opponent who was doing. We saw his shadow doing Matt Hardy's pose. So.
And it turned out it was Matt Hardy.
It actually was Matt Hardy. So why didn't they just put him on TV?
Especially since they announced that he wasn't suspended on Raw.
Yes, this was TNA booking. Well,
I was hoping it would be Jeff in a swerve.
I was hoping it would be the Brooklyn Brawler in a purple shirt or something. Anyway, yeah, he won with 88%
Fat Lardy?
Of the vote. Sure.
That's a new name for him on the board.
That works.
I didn't make that up, Matt.
Yeah. Don't blame us. Well, he did, to his credit, he did wrestle in a shirt this week.
Yes, he did.
So at least he's recognizing his strengths and weaknesses. So it went like a minute, and maybe two. Matt won with a twist of fate. So there you go.
You know the drill for this next segment. No buys.
So, in the commercial break, they brought B.A. out and handcuffed him to the ropes. And he said everybody had a price, including himself. Said somebody called and wanted B.A. served up on a silver platter, so he named his price and cashed it in. Out came Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I did at least like the idea.
Looking for revenge for WrestleMania 1 and 2.
Yes.
24 years ago.
I did at least think that was funny and creative.
That was pretty good. He ranted about WrestleMania and the A-Team. Said he silenced Mr. T. Ranted about the new movie. Said he would not go see it. Threatened to kill B.A. Actually, up to this point, for this particular segment, I was fine. Then Dusty Rhodes, Gene Okerlund, and I think I wrote Trevor Murdoch, but it's Murdoch, came out to make the save.
I wish it would have been Trevor Murdoch.
Dick Murdoch would have been news. But yes, they all came down to make the save. B.A. snapped the fake handcuffs. DiBiase charged him, ate a big spine buster. IRS got dusty elbowed. Virgil took a Uranagi. Gene congratulated the A-Team.
No one cared.
No one cared at all about... Dusty plugged the A-Team movie, said open on Friday night against SmackDown. And that was that, everyone. That was the last... They had Quinton Rampage Jackson on the show. And this is all we saw of him.
No idea what to do with Quinton Rampage Jackson.
It's astounding in hindsight.
Not really. I mean, seriously.
So...
Then we had the angle, at least.
The end. But I guess we're there, aren't we?
Yeah.
Josh interviewed Cena's opponents. Ray said to make it to the top, you got to go after the top dog on Raw. Said they were they were each the top dog in their respective shows, and he could beat Cena. Ray is not the champion. He's like, I guess if Taker's out, he could be number two. But made me laugh. Swagger said it was champion versus champion, Monday versus Friday, All-American versus the face of the company. He lived for matches like this. And then... Punk just said Matthews asked stupid questions. The question is not why should he want to face Cena. The question was why would Cena want to face him? So he can only he can make Cena a better person just like he did with Luke and Serena. And this is where I noted he was just standing there with Ray like 5 feet away and nobody cared. So voting was Ray 32%, Swagger 23%, Punk 45%. I was stunned. I figured it would be Ray and Alok, but I guess people wanted to see John Cena beat up Punk. So they were having a fine match. There were You Can't Wrestle chants. I'm not sure who they were chanting this out, actually. I guess Cena. So he started making a comeback when who should come out in the ramp but Wade Barrett. No one knew really who he was or what to make of it. And he was out there for a bit, and then the NXT rookies attacked.
Yes.
All eight of them from the original series.
Yes.
They immediately laid waste to CM Punk and company. I assume Serena just ran to the back. I didn't see what happened here. They surrounded Cena 8-on-1. They stalked him. They let it sink in how fucked this man was. John Cena stood in the ring, resigned to his fate, very unhappy about it. Went down fighting, got swarmed by eight dudes. They beat the fuck out of him. They went outside. They destroyed furniture. They were tearing the ring apart, destroyed the announce desk, started attacking announcers, the ring bell guy, the ring announcer, random people I could not identify. They destroyed the ring, took the ropes off, pulled back the mats, exposing the boards. I was hoping that as rookies, they would just start tearing it down.
I was shocked that they tore down two of the ring ropes, but left the top rope. And Justin Gabriel, with only a top rope, did a 450.
Yes, I noticed that too.
That was scary.
For those of you who have not been in a ring, first of all, it's obviously easier to climb when there are more ropes hung up. Second of all, the ropes stabilize the post.
Yes.
It wobbles more when you take them down. So, yes, he's a very good athlete.
If anybody would know about putting a ring together, Vinny, it's you.
I have taken them down and put them up once or twice in my life, yes.
Yes.
So, they beat the crap out of Cena. Very basic stuff, like two guys would pick him up and whip him into another one who would hit a clothesline. The Danielson was screaming, "You are not better than me," which is true. The crowd was chanting, "You are losers." They did not really know who these men were. Wade hit his big slam. Gabriel hit the 450. Cena was stretchered out, and they showed clips of women crying, which is when you know an angle works. And then, I swear to God, there was a shot of a dude crying. That I was not ready for. It took Cena to the back. He gave you thumbs up, indicating he was still alive, and the show ended.
And people booed as soon as he gave the thumbs up. There was great sympathy for Cena when his heel fans thought he was dead, but then when he revealed that he was in fact still alive, then they got really mad again. So his was a hell of an angle, and not really any follow-up whatsoever on NXT or SmackDown, but I'm not going to give up hope yet because the deal happened on Raw. And Raw is the most watched show. SmackDown was only seen by like 2.5 million people last week. Like half the viewers of Raw. NXT is down around, 1.1 million, somewhere around there. So just if they've got a great angle for Raw, everything's good. If they don't, then I don't even know what the fuck the point of this was.
Right before I started watching Raw, it was over, but long over by the time I started watching. And I don't know what motivated me, but I went to the front page of the Observer site, and the headline was something like, "Feedback to Big Angle at End of Raw." And I thought, hey, they got Quentin. Quentin and Cena are going to face off. It's going to be Austin Tyson 2. This is going to be awesome. So I got, first of all, I got the bullshit with Quentin. So I was very disappointed. And I got the angle, and it was a really good angle. I don't want to say like I don't like or it didn't work or wasn't effective, but all I could think was, John Cena's being beaten up by eight goofballs. Just complete clowns.
Well, they're not all goofballs.
They have been for the past several months, except maybe Wade.
Well, sure.
The entire crew of NXT was made to look like such complete geeks for so many months that he was being beaten by, well, geeks.
It would have been better with long-term planning.
It would have been better, a lot better with long-term planning.
Well, don't forget that at one point, Ken Shamrock, when he was much younger, was beaten up by the Nasty Boys. Because no matter how much of a badass you are, 2-on-1, you're still in trouble.
8-on-1's even worse.
Yes.
I get that. I don't want to say it. Like I say, I don't want to slag this angle. I just want to say it was not as good as what I thought was going to happen. And there was a portion of the crowd chanting, "You are losers," who did not know who these men were or what to make of it.
Well, they didn't know what to think early on, but it went on so long, and they beat John Cena so badly and destroyed their ringside area to such a degree that people actually got into the angle there at the end. So
they beat up everyone. The Justin Roberts being strangled with his own tie.
Now, granted, the teacher showing up unscathed on NXT and a second season just beginning, and there should have been some sort of follow-up on both SmackDown and NXT.
You would think.
But again, we'll give it a chance and see what they do on Raw, because Raw is more so now than ever the A show. So we'll see what they do there. But thumbs up angle, two thumbs down on the show. Show just sucked. In
show
fact,
was really...
as noted on Observer Radio yesterday, and I was in fact thinking of this during the show being as abysmal as it was actually made the main event angle even better. It's
by
a
comparison,
strange, skewed...
They lowered the bar so low.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I would have preferred if they would have only lowered the bar for an hour and 45 minutes as opposed to two fucking hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But what the hell can you do? So, there you go. We got some shout-outs here. I'm going to read those very quickly. And I also wanted to make sure to mention the Abdullah the Butcher Shoot DVD. For all of you listening to this right now, you freeloaders, we're starting Shoot DVDs, WrestlingObserver.com. The first one is going to be out in late June, June 22nd, I think. It is with Abdullah the Butcher. I sat down for 2 hours with Abdullah. I talked to him about his career. I talked to him about his career in Japan, Puerto Rico, WCW, all over the world. Talked about the time up in Canada. Talked about before he got into this business, after. Well, I can't say after he got into the business, because he's still in the business. In fact, he's still over in Japan right now as we speak. Did a bunch of extras as well. There's some great bonus features, including a tour of Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs. I headed out there. We took a look at the place. We went backstage at the House of Ribs to show where the ribs actually come from and how they're prepared. I ate the ribs. We took a tour, looked at all his memorabilia. It's quite the little deal right there. Plus, you get to see just the kind of neighborhood Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs is in. It's quite the deal. We got some a bonus music track. We've got bonus matches with Vinny and I doing commentary. There's an Abdullah the Butcher versus Giant Baba match. Abdullah the Butcher versus Carlos Colon.
First time ever.
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
Anyway, it's a great DVD. The Cancer, who has done some of the songs that have been played on this program, some of the great songs. He's in charge of the production and everything like that, and he says it's going great. And they're available for pre-order now if you head to WrestlingObserverShoots.com. And that's WrestlingObserverShoots.com. You can check out the trailer if you want to see some of the footage of myself interviewing Abdullah. Abdullah giving me shit, as he did for about 3 hours when we actually taped the DVD. Abdullah would do this deal where we would take a break, and he'd say, "Hey, when we come back on, why don't you ask me about such and such?" And I'd go, "Okay, I'll ask you about that." And then, of course, we'd start taping. I'd ask him about such and such, and he'd fuck with me. The perfect example was when he said, "Hey, next time when we get started, why don't you ask me about racism in this business?" I was like, okay.
That should not make me laugh.
So, of course, as soon as I asked him about racism in this business, Abdullah was in rare form. Just, he fucked with me. So, if you're one of those guys that enjoys seeing me trolled, well, 2 hours being trolled by Abdullah the Butcher. Yeah. It was something else. So, anyway, video's up. WrestlingObserverShoots.com. Check out the trailer. And it's available for pre-order right now all over the world. It's also going to be available in retail outlets, Walmart, Best Buy, Target, a number of other places as well. So you'll be able to check it out there. But pre-order it. The first 500 people, I think we still have DVDs left, the first 500 people that order online will have their DVD personally autographed by Abdullah the Butcher as well. So that's another bonus for you. So check it out, WrestlingObserverShoots.com. And, of course, if you love this show, check out WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up, and we do shows, I think 15 to 20 radio shows every week. So, long story short, if you like what you hear, but you only get to hear one a week because you're a freeloader, if you sign up, you get to hear a radio show every single day, sometimes two a day. This is the second one I've done today. I did one earlier today with Johnny Fairplay, formerly of Survivor. He's done 46 different reality TV shows. He was also a pro wrestler, and at one point, He was the personal assistant of Rowdy Roddy Piper. So for 75 minutes today, we talked about his career. It was actually an awesome interview, so make sure you check that one out once you sign up. And pretty much every show we've ever done since 2005 is in the archives. That's thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio. And you just sign up for a month. It's $10.99. You'll never go through everything. I dare you to try and go through everything in a month. You just won't be able to do it. And that's not even counting the newsletters and everything else. So check out WrestlingObserver.com. Check out all the stuff you can't get unless you subscribe. It's $10.99 a month. Sign up, and you'll never be at a loss for wrestling audio when you travel to and from work, to the gym, or wherever you may be headed in your travels. All right, let's do some of the shout-outs here. We've got a couple of them here. This person, Sam, says, join the site after your line on Russo taking his kids to the park, and then swerve, they're at the dentist. Could you please give a shout-out to Sam Wesley? That's myself. Could you also please tell my brother, Lee, he's a humongous diseased penis.
Lee, you're a humongous diseased penis.
Not subscribing to your site already and bringing you one step closer to the gold boat. He's 25, says he would rather spend his time masturbating to your free shows. Well, that's disgusting. You both run
I do have a sexy voice.
Club night.
Let's be honest.
Called Indie Bingo. We have a special on the 11th of June at Proud Galleries in London. Website is indiebingo.com. That's I-N-D-I-E, bingo.com.
As opposed to Major League Bingo?
Yeah. Everyone should come down. It's free entry, free to play. So just buy your drinks and have some drunken bingo times.
Indie Bingo.
Keep the Brian and Vinny show. Keep it up. Be nice to Vinny, for fuck's sake. And your fucking granny, for God's sake. P.S. Tell Vinny I love him. The Aww. Torment you give him is completely proportional to my love for him and to his size. I threw that part in. Thanks, gents. Appreciate the good work. Have a good time in UFC at 114. Rashad wins decision. Mark my words. Well,
check.
You were right about that. And he did send it in before the deal. All right. This is from Auden from Norway, I believe. Signed up for the first time, but a longtime fan of the free shows and the Death of WCW book. And by the way, everybody, if you're listening to this, if you sign up, you get a free shout-out, which we will read here on the program. So that's what everyone's doing here. They signed up, now they're getting their shout-out. Been a longtime fan of the free shows, Death of WCW, and since I'm going on a 16-hour flight to LA next week, I need to load up on audio and reading material. So I'll let you guys know that Vinny sounds like my father when he used to read me stories as a kid.
Wow, I think that's nice.
And I find his voice soothing and strangely arousing.
I told you. I told you. Sexy voice, everyone.
His father.
Oh.
Yes. Keep up the great work. Keep me entertained on my travels, gentlemen. If you got any suggestions what to do in L.A., please let me know.
Therapy?
I was going to say, what the hell is there to do in L.A.? What a nothing happened in town.
Yes.
Find Johnny Fairplay, actually. All right. This is from... What do we got here? Hold on. Oh, here we go. Owen. After 1 year, I request my shout-out. 1 year ago, I had $10 left at the end of the month and subscribed to this site and have not stopped subscribing since. I will put it like this. If you don't want to get access to the two best newsletters in the business, get more quality audio and exclusive interviews than any reasonably productive person could find time to listen to, and generally just get so much content that you think about wrestling 24 hours a day, then do not subscribe to F4W. Just do not do it. That said, it would be a mistake not to subscribe. It's the best $10 I spend every month. If you don't mind plugging, please everyone visit flarechop.com. Check out the Old School Wrestling Podcast, my little project. Thanks for your hard work on the site. Sincerely, future long-term subscriber, Juke Freedom / Owen.
Thanks, Owen.
Fine shout-out right there, Owen. And thank you very much for subscribing for so long. This is from our good friend, the Love Handle, Kurt Brown.
Saw
Kurt
that Vandal. Look.
Another belated thank you for the generous shout-out. You gave to Slam and Stan a little over a week ago. You're awesome. I enjoy your deal with Vinny when you went over silly names the other day. It leads me to ask if you've ever heard of the Two Bar Tapes, which were some real-life pranksters in the mid-70s. The pranks were paid. They were paid homage years later on The Simpsons. Ever heard of these guys?
No.
I haven't either. I'm sorry. Dan Farron and I were so bummed we couldn't make the F4W Fest in Vegas. We had a really fun gig reunion to work here in SoCal. We couldn't pass that up, but we want to make it for the fun in 2011. Hope all is well. That's our good buddy Kurt Brown. Please make it in 2011, everybody. You must come to the Figure Four convention. It's going to be next year, already planning, next May, Memorial Day weekend in Vegas. So just everyone start saving $10 a week right now, maybe 20. And next year at this time, we're going to have an awesome time. So there you go. One more here. Brian, I've been an official subscriber for just over a year now. Figured it'd be a good idea to cash in my free shout out. I'd actually been mooching off a friend's account since my previous apartments had limited internet access. I've been a fan of you and your bombastic ways since that time. Despite your indifference to 1988-era D'Lo Brown and your lack of coverage for the awesome Kota Ibushi, you're a great fellow, and as someone on the board theorized, the Jon Stewart of pro wrestling. Vince, you're also a dynamic go-getter. That's bullshit.
Sorry.
And I know that if the Empire is left
a
to
lot
you...
of things.
Once Alvarez concentrates on Olympic gymnastics, it's not too late, he says, and I'm afraid he's wrong.
For both of us.
You will delight young and old alike with your saucy banter and whimsical approach to the game. It's a great shout out.
What the hell is this man smoking?
As a working stiff, I have nothing to plug, so instead I will retrospectively plug the old Joe vs. the World podcast, which I've recently been exposed to. If you haven't heard, please check out these pieces of audio magic featuring the underexposed Joe Gagne, Justin Shapiro, and the indie wrestling spelunker, Rob Naylor. That is all, Michael Armstrong. Michael, thank you very much for the shout-out. Thank you all for the shout-outs. Fine, as always. We're going to wrap it up with one last song here, and then that's it. I'm going to go to bed, believe it or not. So,
I mean, I'm tired, yeah.
Let's, what should we play?
Something short.
Let's play a real good one we haven't played for a while. I love this one.
Every day is an endless stream of
satchel ass
and magazines.
Never gets old to me.
And each town looks the same to me. The movies,
because the road is owning him.
And every space I see reminds me that I long to be
ass
woodbound. I wish I was
ass
woodbound.
Ass.
When my thoughts are escaping.
Ass.
When my music's playing.
Ass.
When my love lies waiting silently for me.
I gotta do one more. I just saw this. We haven't played this in a long time, but this is also great. Watch this.
Dancing to Meet the Devil. She was dancing and I failed. She was dancing and I failed. She was dancing to Beat the Devil. She was dancing a lot. Cockerly walks.
Cockerly?
Someone's got to turn that into a song. Fail.
Awesome.
That is a great one.
Blizzard Beast put that one together. All right, everybody, that is it for a year. Sign up, WrestlingObserver.com. Order the DVD, WrestlingObserverShoots.com. A lot of good stuff coming up here in the Empire. More tomorrow, Dr. Lucha Steve Sims. And I believe in the next day or two, the world-famous Chris Hero
wow.
is going to be on Figure 4 Daily.
That's cool.
And it should be great. So check it out. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.